sir.
All right, you ready? I'm going to turn on the power. Banks 1 and 2, ready? Banks 3 and 4, go. Banks 1 and 2. www.pushoutthedoor2004.org.
And now, an important election day announcement from the billionaires for Bush.
I keep flashing back on Y2K when the billionaires took your voting rights away. Convicted felons got purged from the list. A lot of innocent people's names were dismissed. We set up roadblocks on that November day, and cars full of black people got turned away. Too many ballots were tossed out as bad because of a dimpled or a hanging chad. Down in Florida, we struck a mortal blow, cause Geordie's brother Jeb was running the show. And the Secretary of State who inflicted the pain was the chair of the Florida Bush campaign. And the commentator who called it for Georgie B was his cousin who'd been working for Fox TV. A new election day is coming and we're gonna win it, if the billionaires can keep you from getting in it.
Don't vote.
If you got a better place to be,
don't vote.
You can stay at home and watch TV.
Don't vote.
You can be kicking it with your crew.
Don't vote.
Just let the billionaires choose for you. Found a better way of making it seem clean. We built an electronic voting machine, and then we sold these suckers nationwide. But we're the only ones who know what's on the inside. You push the buttons and our voting machine keeps track. We made it so it's very easy to hack. Call for a recount, it will probably fail, cause our machines don't leave no paper trail. The billionaires don't want you to vote this year. We'll send you a message that's loud and clear, that the votes can't be counted in your community. Why even register? Don't waste your energy. Don't go to the polls on election day, cause we bought the election and it better go our way. And on election night we'll sit back and gloat. The billionaires don't want you to vote.
Don't vote.
If you're happy with George Bush in charge.
Don't vote.
If you wanna keep us living large.
Don't vote.
Do you really wanna rock the boat?
Don't vote.
Hey, the billionaires don't want you to vote. When other countries go and have an election day, people walk across mountains to have their say. Wait in line for days until the vote begins. They sit and watch the votes are counted to see who wins. Here in America, put obstacles in your way. We're really hoping you stay home on election day. But if y'all voted, if each one of you just up and went, there'd be a very different government.
Don't vote.
If you really want to fight in the war.
Don't vote.
If you like the way we're treating the poor.
Don't vote.
If you don't care about education.
Don't vote.
Keep the billionaires controlling the nation.
Don't vote.
If you want to help the CEOs.
Don't vote.
If you like the way the money flows.
Don't vote.
Do you really want to rock the boat?
Don't vote.
Hey, the billionaires don't want you to vote.
Members of Congress, I have the high privilege, the distinct honor of presenting to you the President of the United States.
Americans have many questions tonight. We ask every nation to join us to plot evil and destruction. Nations from Latin America to Asia to Africa to Europe, the giving of blood, the saying of prayers as their leaders dictate. The United States respects the Taliban regime. After all, we are currently its largest source of loosely affiliated terrorist organizations. The terrorists practice singing God Bless America. It's a fringe form of Islamic extremism. The United States' goal is remaking the world and imposing its radical beliefs on people everywhere. The United States respects the Taliban regime. I thank you for what you have already done and for what we will do together. The United States is not only repressing its own people, it is threatening people everywhere by sponsoring and sheltering and supplying terrorists, by aiding and abetting murder, is committing murder. I also want to speak tonight directly to our many Arab friends. The United States of America kill not merely to end lives, but to disrupt and end a way of life. Its goal is making money. With every atrocity, America grows fearful, retreating from the world and forsaking our friends, including women and children. By sacrificing human life to serve their radical visions, by abandoning every value except the will to power, the United States will follow in the path of fascism, Nazism, and totalitarianism. Assured of the rightness of our cause and confident of the victories to come, may God grant us wisdom and may He watch over the United States of America.
You are talking about the nonsensical ravings of a lunatic mind.
Welcome to Stepping Out of Babylon, produced by Sue Supriano. Babylon is everywhere. It's the isms and schisms both in the system and within ourselves. Let's unify, stand aligned, and step out of Babylon. Hi, everybody. My name's Sue Supriano, and I'm at the 9/11 International Inquiry, Phase 1, in San Francisco. And it is the end of March in 2004. And right now, I want to say hi to Bill Douglas, who's here from Kansas City with the 9/11 Visibility Project. And you have arrived in the area. You came for the demonstration, the peace demonstration last Saturday with 900 signs saying stop the 9/11 cover-up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually 9/11visibility.org distributed signs for the mobilization all over the United States, and the rank-and-file activists at all these demonstrations were eager to carry stop the 9/11 cover-up signs. We've appealed to the mainstream peace and justice movement organizers for almost a couple of years now, that 9/11 and the cover-up is the quintessential peace and justice issue, because two wars and a rollback in civil liberties have been based on 9/11, which is the most horrendous and yet least examined event in modern American history. And we realized that the most activists are very concerned about this issue, so we decided to just go right around the mainstream peace and justice organizers, because they have no right to censor this from their participants and activists. And so we just went right to the people, and the people were hungry, and they carried the signs, and the signs were photographed by Newsday, New York Newsday, and picked up by Associated Press, and published all over the world with Stop the 9/11 cover-up signs. So we made a splash.
Oh, that's really good. How did you get involved in this? I just want to say you're here slamming doors. We're in the conference, and it's just, you know, we're not in a studio, but we're catching people how we can here because we want to get out this information. Because it's you're not going to hear about it in the corporate media, that's for sure.
That's for sure. 911visibility.org does several things. We empower people who are concerned about this issue to organize 9/11 visibility projects in their cities. But we also help people and provide resources so that they can get involved in mass email, phone, and fax campaigns to begin to hammer the media, both the corporate media and also the alternative left media, to begin to cover in depth the glaring problems with the official story of 9/11, and to begin to support the very courageous 9/11 families who are fighting for the truth on this issue, for all of us, really, because we've all been asked to give our sons and daughters to these wars and to give up our civil liberties.
Well, I was passing out those signs at the march myself. I was one of the several people doing it, and people were perfectly I would say a good third of the people snatched them up, no problem. And they're big signs.
Yeah. Yeah, we had people, you know, coming up and tapping us on our shoulders and asking for them. And then as we walked down the street, we could see people holding them over their heads and holding them at traffic. So people are hungry to get to the bottom of 9/11. Although there's been a lot of resistance from a lot of the leadership of the peace and justice community, which I can't comprehend, to be honest with you. I'm a 25-year peace and justice activist myself, why they would turn their back on this issue. But there's a new book out called The New Pearl Harbor, which is endorsed by Howard Zinn. And I think the fact that Howard Zinn has endorsed this book, The New Pearl Harbor, offers a lot of hope to get the peace and justice community to look at this again with new eyes and realize that by ignoring the 9/11 issue, they're really being manipulated in a really huge and disturbing way, and kind of get out of the way and let the people within the peace and justice movement do what they want to do anyway, which is to fight for 9/11 truth.
Yeah. And how do you find it in Kansas City? I mean, I'm here in the Bay Area, which is one of the more progressive or intellectually curious areas of the United States, and we have more alternative media here, independent media, than a lot of places, more access to information, and it's far from perfect by any means. But I'm curious how you find it in Kansas City and if you've been traveling to other places.
911visibility.org is, of course, a national organization, so we've worked with groups in various cities throughout North America and even in Europe. And so we've got a real feel for the pulse. And before we launched the national project, we started organizing in Kansas City so that we would be able to kind of put together a how-to manual, so to speak, on how to grow a 9/11 truth movement. And then we linked with Seattle because they were doing kind of a parallel thing. And we began to realize quickly that other cities were doing similar things. First 9/11 truth event we had in Kansas City, we had about 200 people holding Stop the 9/11 cover-up or Stop the Bush 9/11 cover-up signs. And then eventually we brought Ellen Mariani and Phil Berg. Ellen lost her husband in, I think, Flight 175 crashing into the World Trade Center. And we brought her to Kansas City to speak on their suit against Bush for 9/11 complicity and cover-up. And they spoke to well over 1,000 people that day. And our biggest event was at a Unity Church with probably about 800 people. And they got interviews with all the local press. To be honest with you, what we're beginning to realize is that the first phase of the 9/11 truth movement was educational. There are a lot of incredible websites out there, which we all refer people to on 911visibility.org to get educated. But the problem is the 9/11 truth movement is kind of stuck in the intellectual educational mode. And what happens is say some cities will get like 100, 150 people at a 9/11 meetup. And the core 9/11 organizers oftentimes are just used to intellectually discussing the ins and outs of the latest research of 9/11. And most of these people that come to these things, they're busy people. They're working 40, 50 hours a week. They're driving on the freeway. They got to take their kids to soccer practice. And they want to spend their time doing something that is going to have an impact. They want to do some action. And so when they come to these 9/11 meetings in cities and the 9/11 intellectuals just carry on these long harangues, what happens is the next week, you only have 25 people that show up again. You know, you had 150 the week before, you only have 25. So what's holding back the 9/11 movement right now is that we're not recognizing we have to move to stage two. And stage two is rampant and relentless and massive outreach and activism, lobbying, and also public actions. And that's what 9/11visibility.org tries to facilitate. And we support all local movements. That's what we're there to do. So we're not another movement. We are a support with tools for every 9/11 action in the country to utilize and to list their information there on our site so that they can be a local contact. And as the thousands of people that come through our site every day find local contact information, then they can get involved with your movement right away.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just have to say, even though I know what you're talking about, Bill Douglas, when you say long harangues, I have to say in the defense of these researchers that without them, we wouldn't, I mean, I'm not a researcher and I'm much more, you know, let's do action.
Right.
But we really need information,
right.
Although we don't have to know exactly what happened in every little detail, because after all, it's a cover-up. That's the
right.
whole point.
Right.
And I think that for anybody who looks into it at all, it's pretty clear it is a cover-up.
Yeah.
And I just felt defensive about
actually,
the harangues.
Well, on that topic, I mean, I want to be clear. The researchers are the core of this movement. I mean, there would be no 9/11 movement if it wasn't, you know, especially for like the people here. We've got incredibly brilliant people, Mike Rupert. We've got Nafiz Ahmed. We've got Barry Zwicker. We've got all these folks. And these guys.
A long list.
Yeah.
Those are just a few of the names. People doing incredible work.
Absolutely. But these folks are the heart and soul of the movement. And we absolutely advocate these people. And we refer people to their links on our website. So it's not an either-or thing. But my point is that at the 9/11 meetings where organizers are organizing in cities around the country, they can't be intellectual discussion groups anymore. Like you say, we already know enough. We know there's a massive cover-up. When people come to these meetings, we have to empower them and give them a way to begin to act, or else they won't come back.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So,
action is where it's at, because
right.
We need to make some serious social change for a whole bunch of reasons. We're just hearing Mike Rupert talking about, and not only Mike Rupert, but talking about peak oil and the end of civilization as we know it, basically coming pretty soon, I think. And that's a cover-up, too. The oil has run out. It's already costing more to get it out than you get from it. So a lot of things are happening that most people don't know about. Even when they hear the information, they don't really want to think about it. Mostly they don't even hear the information, although a lot of it is in there corporate press here and there, but not over and over and over again, headlines, and then there's so many distractions. So anyway.
Well, Americans were sleepwalking before 9/11, but since 9/11, they've been majorly sleepwalking. And the 9/11 issue gives us an opportunity to essentially give Americans shock therapy, because once they find out how they've been so horrendously lied to about 9/11, they're going to start questioning a lot of things, and that's going to be the healthiest thing that ever happened to this country. And so, again, 911visibility.org is a place where everybody should go get involved, and they should put in their email address, and they should also send us contact information for their city so that we can help them facilitate creating 9/11 visibility projects in their cities locally and, of course, across the United States and North America and the world.
Okay, thanks very much, Bill Douglas.
Yeah, thank you.
Now we're going to get to speak with Carol Brier here. Carol Brier is the organizer of this 9/11 International Inquiry Phase 1 here in San Francisco. So, Carol, how did you come to do this, and how do you think it's going? Here we are, pretty much exactly in the middle of it.
Well, I marched on my senators demanding a congressional investigation of 9/11 in January 2002, and the response from the administration was, let's limit the investigation, and because Congress is so busy fighting this war on terrorism, let's have it overseen by the CIA and the very people who we thought should be investigated for their role in 9/11. Under a lot of pressure from the victims' families, they finally conceded to having an independent commission, and who should they choose to head that? None other than Henry Kissinger. When the public outcry was tremendous, they replaced him with Thomas Keane. I don't think the American public realized that Thomas Keane is almost as bad as Henry Kissinger. He has financial links with Osama bin Laden, he has oil interests, and he even had two businesses in the World Trade Center. If you look at the biographies of every one of those commissioners and the House Senate Intelligence Oversight Committee, this is a major cover-up, a major whitewash. And so we're challenging the official story. There's nothing substantiating the government's created myth of what happened on September 11th. We want to know what the truth is. Actually, that's what our purpose is to just get to what is the truth behind September 11th. We have a lot of questions. We do know the government is lying. We do know the government is covering up. This whole hearings with Tenet and Colin Powell and all that was, I think, farcical. And they were asking completely the wrong questions. They weren't asking the serious questions.
Yeah. Somebody was quoting, oh, they start out at with assuming the truth of the things that are basically questions, and then they take it from there.
Right. Exactly. And it's like a show in order to justify the national police state that they're constructing right now. It has nothing to do with finding out the truth about September 11th. It has everything to do with wiping out our civil liberties and constructing this horrific police state and destroying the Constitution. And it's totally outrageous. So that's one reason we have the inquiry right now, because we wanted to make a public statement that we know that what's going on there is a farce, especially if they don't ask the big questions. So we're asking some of the big questions. And I'm happy to say that we had some press, and even if they didn't agree with our point of view, they put some of those questions in the papers. And, you know, it's so hard to do that. The most basic facts about 9/11 haven't reached the public. And that's another reason that we're doing this. In fact, the entire 21 hours of presentations is basically the ABCs of 9/11 for people who don't realize that evidence indicates that there was a military stand down that day, that top U.S. government officials had links with the money man behind September 11th, including Porter Goss and Bob Graham, who on September 11th were having breakfast with the head of Pakistani intelligence, who wired $100,000 to Mohammed Atta, who the FBI identified as the lead terrorist. I mean, this is just basic facts. Any journalist should be able to put this all over the headlines. They should have been doing it for 2 years, and they haven't. So those little basic pieces of information which are trying to get out to the general public.
Even there isn't even any really hard evidence that there were, in fact, hijackers. All the things that they put out as the official story, and then people take off from there, including the commission, the official commission, the government commission, they take off from there. But those, as I was just saying, those things in themselves have not been really proven.
Right, exactly. I have no idea what happened on those planes, who was on those planes, how those planes were controlled. We have a lot of questions about the collapse of the buildings. It's highly suspicious that building number 7, which wasn't hit by an airplane, suddenly collapsed at 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I mean, that's absolutely unprecedented in history. And steel buildings just don't collapse because of fire. And building number 7 looked like a perfect controlled demolition. And it was an extremely strong building. It actually housed an electrical substation and Giuliano's Y2K bunker. And it had a tiny little fire. It's just, there's no way that the planes could have gotten that building. So these are just a few of the anomalies that we're trying to bring to the public attention.
How many speakers are here at this conference? And I see it's at the Herbst Theater in San Francisco, which is not a small place, and it's a huge building. You have many things going on in different rooms. And I've been meeting people from all kinds of places, from New Zealand, from England, from Eugene, Oregon, which is not nearly so far from San Francisco, but, you know, people from out of town, not to mention all the people in town.
Yeah, we even have journalists have come from Japan for this. And we have researchers, too, in addition to the speakers. Some people aren't very articulate, I'm afraid. I'm one of them. But we have some really outstanding researchers. And the inquiry, there's multi-tiers. We have the presenters, and then we have on the second floor a sort of self-organized conference where all the participants can choose what areas that they want to focus on. And that's where we're trying to get deeper into 9/11 and new information is emerging so that on Sunday we could present our new findings to the public.
Mm-hmm. I know there's been a lot of arguments among researchers. I mean, and it seems like it's coming together more now that people are starting to agree about things. And it's quite exciting. I can say personally speaking, it's very exciting to be with other people who are concerned about this issue, which to me also seems like a very key issue. I mean, it's because it's just, well, it's, there's just too much fishy stuff, and it's used to perpetrate all this violence and fear and create a lot of fear, and people are so much easier to control when they're afraid.
Right. No, I think that the war on terrorism is a farce. It is a war of terrorism against the American people as well as the world, and the best thing to do is expose it. It's the big lie. And on Friday, we basically looked at the historical background, and I think constructed a very clear case that this is the American Reichstag. This is the rise of the Fourth Reich here in the United States. Look at the Bush-Nazi ties. It's extremely clear. In fact, I think we should nail Bush on a number of charges, but plagiarism, he's following in Hitler's footsteps so well. If you look at what happened after the burning of the Reichstag and how that incident was used by Hitler, same way Bush is using 9/11 to crush his political opposition, dismantle democracy here, and in his bid to consolidate power and advance this horrific war agenda.
Well, and I was very interested to hear the presentation about the Bush connections with supporting, basically financially supporting Hitler. I had heard about that, but I hadn't gotten it in such detail. And you can find all these things on the Internet. I wish I had the list right in front of me here, but I hope to interview that person, Tarpley?
Webster Tarpley.
Webster Tarpley.
Yeah, he wrote the unauthorized biography of George H.W. Bush. And yeah, it's excellent. And I think that story is just beginning to break. When we had our benefit fundraiser, Behind Every Terrorist, There Is a Bush, we had little jesters dressed up, and we didn't tell everyone who they were, but one of them was Prescott Bush, and he was holding up a little jester puppet of Hitler. Just the same way his dad used Saddam Hussein, and George is using Osama bin Laden as the boogeyman.
You know, I'm looking at your T-shirt, Carol Brier, with the deception dollar on it, and it might be that some of the listeners even have deception dollars, and that's a good way to get all the, to get a whole lot of websites, and that is a website, deceptiondollar.com. Would you like to comment about that? How many have gotten out to the world now?
We actually have over 3 million in circulation, and that's actually how we have funded this event, from tabling on the street. We created the deception dollars because we needed a flyer to catch people's eyes and to get the websites out, because all the information was online. We couldn't break the stories in the mainstream press or even the alternative press. They were extremely resistant to this information. So most of the activity was going on the websites. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the fun things about the conference, too. People have been connecting and cooperating over great distances via email, via phone, and now people are able to actually put their heads together and have rich discussions and dialogues with people they've been communicating over vast electronic distances before. And we're especially pleased to have Paul Thompson here, who did the amazing Complete Timeline, which is a tremendous resource for the entire world, looking at all the dots collected by the Main Street Press that they have never been able to put together. But if anyone looks over there, you could just see the lies and how the official myth was constructed and how impossible the official story is to believe. All the contradictions.
I have his website in my mind, Complete Timeline, Complete 9/11 Timeline.org.
Actually, if you just go to cooperativeresearch.org, that'll take you right to it.
Okay. Well, just to get some websites out there, since, as you say, it is a lot of information is on the Internet, and you're not going to probably get it many other places. And, of course, this whole issue.
That's not quite true. There's been a body of literature produced about 9/11. In fact, in the 2 weeks before this inquiry, I received 5 new books on 9/11, which I haven't had a chance to read yet, I must admit. But more and more, the new Pearl Harbor just came out, a very easy, accessible, and it's a synthesis of the primary materials. And more films are available. We have at least 8 or 9 or 10 videos, and we have about 7 or 8 different documentary film crews here. We did get broadcast rights to all the presentations so that local television stations and internet sites can broadcast this information worldwide.
Maybe now is a good time to say, and then we'll repeat it again. We don't have too much time left, but how are you, or how does one, if somebody's hearing this right now and wants to get something on their local television station or wants to see something, get something together, how can they be gotten, this information?
Well, we haven't rigged up anything at the moment, because we're all physically here gathering the information and putting our heads together, but I'm sure that we'll post something on our website afterwards, and it's 911inquiry.org. And this is actually just phase one of the international inquiry into 9/11. There will be a much larger event in Toronto in June. But we felt, since it happened in the United States, and as the Americans who really have to wake up, we should have this inquiry here. I must say that I invited Thierry Maison and Andreas von Bülow also to come to this conference. Both of them wrote books about September 11th. And Thierry Maison was told that he was officially unwelcome by the Pentagon, so he couldn't even get into the country.
He's French, right?
Yes. And Andreas von Bülow, who was the Department of Technology minister in Germany, he wrote me and said that a friend of his was critical of Bush's policy on Iraq, and she was a member of the Scottish Parliament, and she wasn't allowed in the country. He didn't think he could get in either. So that's one reason that they're not here, unfortunately, today.
Well, a lot of people are here, and this whole issue of dealing with this idea that people have about conspiracy theory. I heard somebody, I've heard it described that the closer you are to the truth, the more you get called a conspiracy theorist. And there's this whole, like, really ridiculous idea that people, who criticize the government are conspiracy theorists, and that's a stigma, basically. Even though conspiracy, many people are in prison for conspiracy, it's a common word, and in courts used very often. But people fall so much for that. Oh, we got to stay away from that conspiracy theory, like it's like you're a nutcase.
Right. I think Ken Jenkins says it's crazy to think that everything is a conspiracy, but it's even crazier to think that nothing is a conspiracy. The balance is somewhere in between. We have to realize that conspiracies exist, and it's hard. I actually think that 9/11, in a way, was the desperate attempt of the ruling class, the global elite, to cling to power using their traditional methods of war and terrorism. They didn't want to give it up for the rising global movement against corporate globalization. And this was a way of relabeling anyone who was dissenting against corporate globalization or government policies as terrorist. And you know, it was an attack upon our civil liberties and democracy worldwide.
Oh, that's for sure. Have you had any personal issues with being, you know, being questioned by the FBI or whatever? Has anything happened to you?
Not at all. I'm amazed, actually, because I've gone to England, I've flown to Canada numerous times, and I've actually had no trouble other than normal stuff and losing all my silverware from my picnic when we were going on a camp, you know, just because I forgot totally about Homeland Security and that you can't have knives and spoons and they confiscated stuff like that. But none at all. In fact, we had a march today on City Hall that somebody else organized to deliver a letter asking Mayor Gavin Newsom to investigate Willie Brown's revelation that he was warned not to fly on September 11th.
Willie Brown is a former mayor of San Francisco, and he was warned not to, as you're saying, warned not to fly on September 11th.
Right, and so we were asking, you know, can you investigate this and find out who precisely told Willie Brown not to fly that day? And we have these gorgeous, big, huge Stop the 9/11 cover-up signs. And we invited people to go with us to help us deliver this letter. So we had 200 people with lots and lots of signs. And we marched on over to City Hall. And the police met us. And they were so friendly and nice and escorted me into the building. In fact, I just told everyone to be quiet because there was a wedding going on. But the police were great. I've done a lot of demonstrations here in San Francisco, generally small ones because there haven't been that many of us. That was the fun thing about today. I'd say it was one of the largest 9/11 marches that happened, and I didn't even have to organize it. It was great.
Well, I'll say that while you were inside, I was outside, and the San Francisco fire truck went by, and the firemen were all, like, putting the peace sign up and waving and tooting the horn on the fire truck.
Oh, that's great. That's great. I think we're having some effect. I think consciousness is rising. It's very hard at this point to believe in Bush, which is what, when we presented all our information to Feinstein's office in January 2002, her staff said, well, Feinstein has the same information you have, but she has a different world view, and she believes in Bush. Mm-hmm. But I don't. I think he's a liar.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Carol Brie, the organizer of this conference, the 9/11 International Inquiry Phase 1 in San Francisco. We are here at the end of March 2004. Thanks for doing it, and hopefully next time we'll have even a much bigger movement to be talking about. So take care. My name's Sue Supriano. Thanks for listening. To hear other programs produced by Sue Supriano, go to my website at www.suesupriano.com. Sue Supriano is spelled SueSupriano. And to order copies of my shows, you can send me an email at sue@suesupriano.com, or you can call me at 510-883-1979. Again, that's Sue@SueSupriano.com is the email, and the telephone is
510-883-1979. Ah, 911. Kind of tired of thinking about that one. Tell what's the information, what's the truth, what's the misinformation, who's putting out propaganda, who's just trying to make a dollar. And yet, day by day, month by month, the truth continues to slip out. We know more now than we knew right after the event. Year after year, 2 years, 3 years. All I can say is, I'll give you something to think about, and you can make up your own mind.
Yeah. Is everything in place?
You weren't supposed to relieve me.
I know, but I felt like taking a shift.
You like him, don't you? You like watching him.
Military equipment, but the overheads had become immense, and more money was needed. The Mujahideen ordered farmers to plant opium as a revolutionary tax. I suspect they already did, personally.
We're in.
The ISI set up hundreds of heroin laboratories across Afghanistan. Within 2 years of the CIA's arrival, the Pakistan-Afghanistan borderland had become the biggest producer of heroin in the world and the single biggest source of the heroin on American streets. The annual profit said to be between $100 and $200 billion were plowed back into training and arming militants. The notion of jihad or holy war had almost ceased to exist in the Muslim world after the 10th century, until it was revived with American encouragement to fire an international pan-Islamic movement after the Soviet Bay invasion of Afghanistan in 1979.
In a world awakened to danger, some civilizations are so terrible, they offend humanity itself. In Afghanistan, broads can be beaten for wearing socks. Men are jailed that are too thin. The United States, supported by many nations, is bringing justice to Afghanistan. We're making all of the Afghan people military targets to be killed with equal indifference, collectively, and that is our objective. I make all the victims of that regime the enemy. All people from the wicked criminal nations must be killed early, decisively, before they threaten us with terror and lawless violence.
The last time they almost took Kabul, the different factions within the Northern Alliance started fighting each other, and the shooting got so bad that 50,000 people died, and the third of the city was destroyed. And after that, we rewarded some of them with passports and entry into the United States, which eventually trickled into the first World Trade Center bombing. Benazir Bhutto, who's been in and out of power in Pakistan a couple times, warned the U.S. government at the time, I think this would have been when King George I was still in the White House, you are creating a Frankenstein.
All people across cultures and continents, civilization itself, depends upon our commitment to peace and progress. But the God of the United States of America would never answer such a prayer. We are determined to fight. We will dominate every civilized nation here today. The peoples of Europe, Asia, Africa, and the America, humanity itself, will learn there is no isolation. Time and eternity has returned decisively, and that cause is renewed. We will not be denied. And I will visit that lost wedding anniversary of every payment of every more than 3 hours. Those names in Gambia.
There's a malfunction with the RoboDump Kit 2000.
Exclude a citizen of vent their fourth per husband.
The logic circuits.
The nightmare. September. The nightmare.
It's working. It's rambling again.
Names imported his reweek.
Try this.
The nightmare. Yet they fund it with God's great drug dealing.
Oh, that's great.
Those Danny who prayed at Pack of Mecca times a day that day. Prayed at Pack of Mecca.
Prayed at Pack of Mecca
and died save others.
Pack of Mecca.
Civilization.
And my country grieves Afghanistan.
Oh, that's great.
All the suffering the Taliban have suffered dance upon Afghanistan. Including the Terran Wolfdan. And my country
just at the feet on this thing.
For all the suffering the Taliban would stand. The people of my country will remember those who have plotted against us. There is no corner of the earth distant or dark enough to protect them. We remember every family that offends us. In the Second World War, our family learned to justify standards of brutality and oppression. We learned every other country is a potential target. Innocent civilians. This country is a potential target. Women trying to save innocent children will be killed with equal indifference, and equal satisfaction. It is our task, the task of this generation. We did not ask for this mission, yet there is honor in history's call. Every nation will be a part of our history. The leaders of all nations must now carefully consider their future. Many of you have seen the destruction of our terror in your own lands. Some governments are hoping the threat will pass them by. They are mistaken. They lack the means to enforce their laws and control their borders. We are determined to exploit them, exacting brutality and oppression, and eventually consume them.
He's never been quite right in the head since. He hasn't been able to hold a job and kind of a rocky relationship with people around him. What really flipped him out was after all the bombing and everything, all these Iraqi kids crying their eyes out began coming into the Allied soldiers' camps, wondering where their parents were, wondering what they were going to do, wondering where they could find something to eat. And that may have sent him over the edge.
Last week, Suicide University, the world's oldest victim, was murdering in the name of a great institution of higher religion, declared that liberty is a disease. The civilization we share is threatened. Every nation in our coalition has duties. These duties can be demanding. Responsibility to crack down on parasites. I thank the Arab and Islamic countries that have killed all of the condemned terrorist traitors to Islam with indifference.
I know. They cut the heart.
Freedom is a disease. Parasite nations trying to pick and choose their government as traitors face the most horrifying destruction. History will justify all the brutality and world holocaust. No hint of conscience would prevent it. The tools to turn oppression to prosperity. Prayed at Pakameka, God's great drug dealing. In this nightmare world, there are good causes and bad causes. And we may disagree on where that line is drawn. We kill to overthrow governments and destabilize entire regions. Perhaps in my country, or perhaps in yours. My country is pledged to investing in AIDS and other infectious diseases around the world. The war against terror must inflame ethnic hatred, must serve as an excuse to persecute religious minorities in any country. We must shift the blame away from the guilty to advance the development and expanding trade, into poverty of humanity. We must press on with our agenda for peace and poverty and prosperity in every land.
Back up!
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories.
Morpheus.
There's no time. You're going to have to get to another exit.
First one that came to mind was the one of the celebrating Palestinians, which has then been alleged that CNN actually dug up footage from 1991 that they used for that. And I heard one claim that it couldn't possibly be real because it was nighttime over there and the footage was in daytime.
Malicious lies. There is no such thing as a no such government terrorist that can ever remember the deliberate murder of the innocent. If you know something, tell us. When we find you, you'll lie in a tomb of rubble. For the United States of America, because there is more murder, there is no other peace. Not every nation will be a part in expanding global conspiracy terror and chaos by their own hatred and extremism. Our enemies resent it and dismiss it, but the dreams of mankind are defined by coercion, subversion, the natural right to murder and to destabilize and to overthrow government and live in dignity.
After the Russians withdrew from Afghanistan in 1989, the Americans quickly lost interest in the country. In other words, we couldn't be bothered to finish the job or help out the actual people there. Okay, Soviet unions are gone, we kicked their ass, now you people can just
starved to death. Your waterworks are blown up. What do we care? Your dope's pretty good, though.
The Taliban's days of harboring women, terrorists, brutalizing heroin, and dealing in clothes. The people of Afghanistan will say with the rest of the world, good heroin. I can promise, too, that America will join the world in helping the people of Afghanistan rebuild their country. Many, including my family, dropped over 1.3 million on heroin through the winter. My country is pledged to encouraging development, investing in heroin, and expanding trade. I'm proud of the honorable conduct of the American military. 4 million in heroin for packages of rations and blankets. And all the world faces the most horrifying prospect of all. These same terrorists are searching for weapons of mass destruction, the tools to turn their hatred into Holocaust. They can be expected to use chemical, biological, and nuclear weapons the moment we deliver them.
Teeming Swift & Company slaughterhouse on the edge of town now has the feel of a military base. Security cars cruise the fence compound and periodic drills are run to prepare for attacks. Dairy farmer Tom Barcelos installed video cameras in his milking barns to watch over his 1,200 cows. The threat of agro-terrorism, the use of microbes and poisons is shaking confidence in the U.S. food supply and will devastate the $201 billion farm economy. Such diseases as swine fever and citrus greening will be spread across the land silently. The feared bioterrorism threats such as smallpox or anthrax pale before the virulent agricultural diseases that are being prepared in terror attacks in the United States in an attempt to compromise the food supply. Warning bells go off. The first alarms about mysterious sick animals began to leak out in June 2002, putting into place the first phase of an elaborate war game staged by the Defense Department's counterterrorism planners. In all the prime farm states, from North Carolina, California, and Kansas, agriculture inspectors are identifying these infections. Simulated viruses are being raced across America. Within weeks, only portions of New England, Hawaii, and Alaska are unaffected. After 45 days, 20 million animals have been destroyed. The losses total to tens of billions of dollars, and public panic leads to calls for martial law. The Los Angeles Times, public panic leads to calls for martial laws. The efforts to police state borders and contain outbreaks fall short. The armed forces are called in. It is absolutely devastating and shocking to me that a handful of agricultural terrorism incidents will lead to the devastation of our economy, stated Representative Steve Israel, the Democrat of New York, who was directing this simulated response. What is the simulated response? In a series of Defense Department exercises codenamed Silent Prairie and Crimson Sky, reports the Los Angeles Times, the government, the military, and the agriculture officials are dealing with the attack. In our scenario, people in various towns shoot each other, and we have state governors ordering that anybody, any citizen, crossing state lines will be shot on sight. I repeat this, brothers and sisters. We have state governors ordering that anyone, any citizen, crossing state lines will be shot on sight. These are real-life preparations in the United States for the martial law state which allows us to be shot on sight if we cross state lines, if we resist quarantine, if we attempt to avoid massive detention, relocation, under the pretext of answering the threat of terrorism. And the article, which is very detailed, goes into the battleground for imposed vaccinations, the vaccination state, which the biological agents that are being supposedly countered by antidotes result in vast profiteering for the pharmaceutical companies in which such as Rumsfeld are dominant corporate figures.
And, Ralph, that, in fact, is taking place as we speak. The Bush administration has reported in Time magazine July 26th in an article that is primarily about the ports and the 400 million people, 122 million cars, 11 million trucks, 2.4 million freight cars, and 8 million containers that enter and travel throughout the United States each year. There is a small section on bioweapons, locally unprepared, and in it, Time magazine states, the Bush administration is putting in place a system called BioWatch, which involves installing and monitoring a nationwide set of air sensors to check for the presence of smallpox, anthrax, and other pathogens. The federal government is also in the stages of developing a public health surveillance system built on monitoring, note this, monitoring the health databases of eight major cities for signs of disease outbreak. That means going into the medical records of people in those eight major cities. Finally, the strategic national stockpile has been boosted, and this is what you're referring to, the collaboration, the infusion of money into the pharmaceutical companies, particularly the crony companies of the top officials in this in the administration. The strategic national stockpile has been boosted so adequate medications can be rushed to designated sites within 12 hours.
And so, in my state of the union, or state, my speech to the nation, whatever you want to call it, speech to the nation. I asked Americans to give 4,000 years, 4,000 hours over the next, or the rest of your life, of service to America. That's what I asked. I said, 4,000 hours.
Prime Minister Putin, who is putting political opponents in jail. And I think that it's fairly similar to the fact that if you are in the vicinity of George Bush and you speak negatively about George Bush or the Republican Party, you are put in handcuffs and dragged away.
That happened to a lady not too long ago, right?
You know, I think it is outrageous that we have something labeled free speech zones in the United States. Anywhere I happen to be standing is a free speech zone.
We should call upon any patriotic hackers out there to just go into these machines, and if they can't just crash them and destroy them, I think just set the vote total to zero or have some really ridiculously lopsided total so that the whole country can see that this isn't going to work. And then the rest of us who aren't quite as talented could maybe start up a good legal defense fund for these guys, because they would be true patriots who would rescue democracy.
They would be cyber Minutemen.
They would be, and I think we need this. I think we need to address this problem, because I don't think anything's going to happen, and I do really think Bush is going to quote-unquote win because of these machines. I honestly...
Do you understand how important this is? We keep reading American history. Fourth of July is our favorite holiday. We fly the flag. We wear red, white, and blue. And go, gosh, isn't it wonderful to be an American? As we sit by and let them create free speech zones?
And there you have it. hills of Bethlehem, Georgia. Say goodnight. Invite you to come visit us at www.pushoutthedoor2004.org.